Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Freedom came with a price. The freedom that we're enjoying today, the fact that we can meet here this morning and celebrate the Lord in the way that we do, it is because there are those that have laid down their lives for the price of freedom. They had to pay the ultimate price with their lives. And I believe that it's important that we remember them. And but understand this, even more important, I believe it's imperative that we remember what Jesus did for us to bring freedom for each and every one of us who have called upon the name of the Lord. You know what? Jesus laid it all down. He put it all out there. He gave his life wholly for you and I, so that we could enjoy spiritual liberty and spiritual freedom. That's the reason, understand this, we do everything within our power to use every weapon that God has given us to see every work of hell and every work of the enemy totally destroyed and annihilated within our lives. Why? Because Jesus paid the price so that you could walk in freedom and walk in liberty, amen? What the greatest testimony and the greatest credit that we can ever give and the greatest admiration and praise that we can ever give to Jesus for everything that he has done is the fact that we are going to fight to see everything that he accomplished enforced within the earth. Amen? And by the way, you know, the greatest way that we can honor those who have given their lives is that we continue to fight for freedom. Can everybody say amen? And there's a lot of forces today, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but there's a lot of forces today that are wanting to one by one extract the freedoms that we have come to know and come to cherish as Americans. And I say that we need to stand up and say no to every force of evil that would try to take the freedoms that others have paid the price for. Can everybody say amen? Now, you know, one of the things that we all have to realize is the reason that history is taught in school is so that we will remember the things that were both good and bad. And I think a lot of the things that we have that's even going on in our nation, and let me say it this way, when I say going on, I'm talking about the bad things that may be going on, is because somewhere along the line, people have failed to remember. They have forgotten somewhere. And as a result of that, what's happened is they have reverted back to a way that has been proven ineffective and causes no good results and no good success. But I believe that if we'll return to some of the values that this nation was founded upon. Now, I'm not saying that every person or every one of our founding fathers were perfect, because the reality is none of them were, just like there's no perfect individual here today, right? But I will tell you this, there are so many of them, you can read in their writings how that they wanted this nation to be founded upon biblical principles and biblical morality. And I'll tell you, whenever our nation turns back to God, and whenever we turn back to biblical principles and biblical morality, that's whenever we're going to see this nation come forth in the greatness that God designed for it to be. Can everybody say amen once again? If you will, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to share a message this morning that I call the reward of remembering. Now, this is not, although we have a flag up there, this is not so much a patriotic message. I may refer to some things, you know, different times within the message, but I believe the Bible says a tremendous amount about remembering. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to remember. You're commanded as a believer to remember. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself, on the night that he was betrayed, whenever they had what we have referred to as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, he told them, he said, as often as you do this, what? In remembrance of me. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember some things. I think a lot of times what's happened is we have focused in on forgetting the things that are behind, but we have not focused as much attention to remembering the things that God has done. See, what Jesus commanded his disciples is, I want you to remember the blood covenant. I want you to remember what I'm about to do. I want you to remember, I want you to call to your remembrance, call to your mind the things that I'm doing and the covenant that is going to be ratified now by my blood. And so it's important that we remember some things. I will tell you, if you will remember what God has done, it'll always cause your perspective to be changed and adjusted correctly. Many people are operating. I'm talking about born-again, spirit-filled believers. They operate their lives with the wrong perspective, all because they don't remember what God's done for them. I don't know about you, but I remember, I know it's a time whenever we didn't have a house, praise God. Now, I know some of you may joke, and you may say, well, you don't have a house right now. It's on its way, hallelujah. I remember when I didn't have enough money to buy a house. I remember a time when I couldn't qualify for a loan. I remember whenever I was driving a Chevy Chevette and we hit every railroad track every time that we went across it. I don't know if anybody else drove a Chevy Chevette. You know, they said the advertisement was it'll drive you happy. No, it'll drive you to get another car. There was nothing about, now I understand that our joy is not relegated to what kind of car we're driving. But I mean, I can remember going up, driving our little Chevy Chevette over the railroad tracks right there on Highway 98, just north of Sherman Avenue. Does anybody know where that's at? You know, not very far from your shop, Cliff, and not very far from Jimmy Carr's, the Florida Hose and Rubber Company. And we would go over that track, and I'm telling you, there was more than two tracks there. There had to be more than two tracks. We'd drive that Chevy Chevette over there, boom, boom, the whole car would rattle. So I remember whenever I was driving a Chevy Chevette, I'm not driving a Chevy Chevette any longer, hallelujah. I remember whenever I was just having to rent, I'm going somewhere with this and you'll understand in just a moment. I think all of us can remember a time within our lives when we were not as blessed as what we are right now. J.R. can probably remember a time when he didn't have a talking refrigerator, but he has one now. Man, we're blessed, hallelujah. And so, and it's real easy to begin to complain and murmur about where we're at right now. We can begin to look at things externally and begin to look at things that are on the job and maybe the way that somebody talked to us or maybe the way that somebody didn't talk to us or what our employer did to us or what they may be, projecting as far as the financial reports. But understand this, if you will just look back and if you'll begin to remember everything that God's done for you, can you remember when you weren't saved, but now you're saved? Can you remember whenever you weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost, but now you're filled with His power? Can you remember when you didn't have any joy, but now the joy of the Lord is your strength? Can you remember when you didn't have any peace and you were laying awake at night, but now you've learned to cast all your care on Him, for you know that He cares for you? My friend, if you'll begin to remember what God's done for you, hear this, it'll change your perspective in the way that you live. Again, we're commanded to remember Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. It says this, beware. I think it's very interesting. God says, beware. Be aware of this. That's what beware means, to be aware. Be aware that you do not forget the Lord. Do not forget. Do not. Another way of saying do not forget is to remember. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. How many know we serve a God of multiplication? How many know God wants to multiply what's in your hand? How many know the story of the little lad who had five loaves and two fishes? Whenever Jesus gave it back to him, he didn't just have five loaves and two fishes. He had 12 baskets full. Hallelujah. God will multiply whatever you begin to put into His hands. And the Lord is saying, hey, you need to be aware of this. You got to make sure that you don't forget the Lord whenever you come into a place of blessing, and whenever God begins to bless you and God begins to multiply you. And listen, I know people within this church body, and I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. The Lord is saying that you need to remember where you came from. You need to remember the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to remember who's made you great. You need to remember who's put money in your wallet. Hallelujah. And it's not your employer. It is He who gives you power to get wealth. Hallelujah. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, sometimes I get tired of hearing people saying, I'm a self-made man. No, you ain't. I know that's not right English, but it's okay. You are not a self-made man. If it weren't for the Lord giving you breath in your body, you wouldn't be able to do anything. If it wasn't for the Lord giving you strength, if he didn't give you oxygen to breathe, you wouldn't even be on this planet. Amen. And when your heart is lifted up, verse 14, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Oh, aren't you glad he took you out of Egypt? Aren't you glad that he took you out of the house of bondage? Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness? Anybody here ever had some wilderness experiences? How many know you came through on the other side? Amen. In which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand and my hard work and everything I've done has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember. Everybody shout, remember. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, you need to remember. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, start doing your own thing, you forget about the church, you decide that you're going to make pleasure your God, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Now, I want everybody to understand, although there have been some things that have changed from the old covenant to the new covenant, I want you to hear this. God has not changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and do you realize that the God that we're serving is still the God of the Old Testament? And there were certain principles that were laid out in the Old Testament that are still relevant for us today. And so nobody should ever discount the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, you know, the only Bible that Paul ever preached out of was the Old Testament. Do you realize that the only Bible that any of the apostles ever preached out of was the Old Testament? It was the law and the prophets. That's all they had. There was no New Testament. So understand this, although we have a new covenant established upon better promises, it doesn't negate the fact that God has not changed. And he says this, if you forget me and if you forget what I have done, ultimately it's going to cause destruction to come into your life. Now understand this, that's not what God wants, that's not what God wills, that's not what he desires for your life. But he says this, if you forget me, what's going to end up happening is you're going to go down the road of destruction. I want everybody to hear the spirit and heart that I'm saying this. I believe the more you're in church, the more you'll stay out of the hospital. I'm going to say it one more time. I believe the more you stay in church, the more you'll stay out of the hospital. Listen, if you will stay in a place where the anointing of God is flowing all the time, let me tell you what, there'll be a lot of ailments that'll never, ever, ever be able to even catch up with your body. There'll be strength that is infused into your body. If you'll spend time in the presence of God, hear this, there'll be a lot of things that you will never experience that the enemy had designed for you. If you stay in a place where you're hearing the word of the Lord, you'll be fortified and you'll be equipped. Why do you come? It's so that you can know the weapons of your warfare. One of them is the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. But listen, if you don't know the word of God, then you can't wield the sword of the Spirit. Amen? And there's a lot of people, and please understand the heart that I'm saying in this end. My heart breaks many times because, you know, they'll get in church for a little while and they'll stay there, and the next thing you know, they're laying out, they're not at church, and then everything that God delivered them from ends up coming right back on them. And you just go, listen, you know why that happens? Because you forgot the Lord. God healed you, God delivered you, God put some money in your wallet, and all of a sudden, oh, skip to the loo, my darling, forget about the Lord, forget about the church, forget about the things of God, forget about the Holy Ghost, and then what happens is the very things that they got delivered from ends up coming right back upon them. How many know that is not the plan of God, nor is that the will of God for your life? However, many people that they do the, you know, they live on the merry-go-round. And again, I want everybody to understand, my heart is not, I'm not trying to condemn them. What I'm saying is, what the Bible declares is we have to remember the Lord. Can I tell you, whenever you come to church, you're remembering the Lord. Do you realize, hear this, one of the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments is this, starts with the word, what does it start with, the word? What are we talking about? Remembering. This is the fourth commandment is this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now you got to understand the Sabbath. I'm not going to teach on this morning, but that what it Sabbath literally means a seventh. And so whenever he says remember the Sabbath day, what God was literally saying, he says, I want you to remember what I did. And I took one day out of seven to rest. And by the way, whenever you look at the Old Testament, there is a day that God designed for us to gather together. It is so supposed to be a convocation of the saints coming together. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, whenever you make a decision of heart that I'm going to dedicate this day to serving the Lord and pursuing the things of God, you are remembering what the Lord did, and you are remembering His promise and remembering His commandment and remembering, and by remembering Him, what happens is you begin to activate the promise. So the Lord emphasizes throughout the Bible, we see here, He emphasizes remembering. Again, in the Old Testament, God even commanded that memorials would be set up. Whenever they crossed the Jordan, they were supposed to take a stone out of the Jordan. And then they were going to actually take the 12 stones, and they established a memorial. And the reason that God had them do it, He said this, I want you to have something physically that you can point back to, and you can tell the story to your children of how I brought you over the Jordan. How many, we need some memorial stones today, some things we can point back. How many of you have at least one thing God's done for you that can be a memorial stone within your life? You see, that way you can point back to you and say, I remember here, but God did this within my life. And I remember whenever God delivered and set us free. You know what? I've got some things in my family that I can look back and point to and say, that's a memorial stone. I remember whenever Josiah was laying there, even though I wasn't there, they were there, Pastor Teresa and Pastor Stacy, and they were there in the room. And I remember whenever I got the text, he needs to breathe. I remember whenever they were praying. I remember when I text, in Jesus' name, breathe. And I remember he's breathing. I remember this woman right here running out of that room and running into the waiting room, crying and falling in my arms, and us beginning to weep together because God had resurrected alive. Are you here? I've got some memorial stones. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? There's some things that we need to remember. If you'll start remembering, you'll stop complaining, I'll tell you that much. You won't ever... If you feel the music's a little loud, just start remembering what God's done for you. Take your mind off of it real quick. I'm sorry, I've got one volume. That's all the way. Crank it or yank it, one or the other. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That was, you know, anyway. They used to say that about sound, you know, well, praise the Lord. All right. But this is the thing, I've got some memorials within my life. I have some things that God's done within my life. There have been some times we've had supernatural protection. I've got another memorial stone right there. I've got another stone of the day that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have another memorial stone whenever when we were believing God for Kayla, whenever Stacy came up pregnant, and then the doctor said, no, you have a blighted ovum. And they said, you need to have a DNC. There's no life in your womb. But we had the word of the Lord, and I can remember, oh, hallelujah, laying hands on her stomach and saying, in the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. And I remember that year in December how that she was born. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what, I've got a memorial stone within my life. And by the way, if God would have done that in 1988, He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He'll still do miracles today in your life. He'll still resurrect things that need to be resurrected. He will breathe life into that which needs life breathed into it. Amen. This young lady right here, our daughter, stand up, Kayla. Most of y'all know this is our daughter, Kayla. You know, she heads up our dance ministry. See, we got a prophetic word for you that don't know. Long before she was born, well, yeah, with February of 1988, that we were going to have a daughter who'd be a dancer in the house of the Lord. Next month, Stacy came up pregnant. Then she started bleeding. Went to the doctor. We see a sack. There's no life. There's no heartbeat. There's no nothing. And everything looked very bleak. Everything looked very dark. It was a time of great warfare for us. But understand this, if you're in a time of warfare, understand that you are destined for victory. Warfare isn't for you to get beat up. Warfare is so that you will beat up the devil. Warfare is so that you will overcome. Warfare is so you take the sword of the Spirit and you enforce the victory that you already possess in the name of Jesus. And we had to stand and we had to believe God. We had to take the word of the Lord and say, God, you said, Lord, you said, but she's here today. Ha. And every time I see her, that's another memorial stone that I have. I've never called her a memorial stone, but Kayla, you're a memorial stone. Hallelujah. How many of you have some people in your life that are memorial stones? Oh, hallelujah. You know, I look at this, some of the families that are here today. Now, you know, I can remember we dedicated Barrett today. I can remember when Jennifer was not serving the Lord. I think the first time that we met her, she was not serving God. Is that correct? Praise the Lord. Living in sin. But God, hallelujah. And this whole family, there's memorial stones that they have in their lives. All, listen, every single one of us have a testimony of something God's done. Have you ever believed God for a prodigal and seen them come home? Have you ever seen a supernatural thing? Some of you were broke. I remember whenever Brother Jimmy Carr, he got up here, it was a Wednesday night, I think, or Sunday night. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Sunday, maybe Sunday night. But he gave his testimony about how that he didn't have anything, driving an old pickup truck that was about broke down. And how that God, he just got a revelation about giving. He got a revelation about how that God wanted to bless him. And now he has his own business. Now that God has blessed him tremendously. Listen, I'm telling you folks, we got memorial stones. We just got to remember what God did then. If we'll remember what he did then, he'll do it again within our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. His arm's not too short. It's not like he reached out and he did that for you and said, I can't ever stretch that far again. Amen? Remembering is a repeated theme throughout the Bible. Now, I want to get into the meat of this message. But before I do that, let me just say this. The reason that this nation today needs to remember what God has done, because listen, I thank God for our democratic form of government. I thank God for everything that we have here in America and everything that everybody has, all the men and women have laid down their lives and have fought for the sake of freedom and liberty. But I want everybody to understand what has really made this nation great is the Lord. I'm going to say that again. What's really made this nation great, or who's really made this nation great, it's not because necessarily of our governmental style, even though I believe that a democracy is wonderful. I believe that's the kind of government we need to have. But understand, this statement here is about the fact that the reason this nation is blessed, because the Bible says blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the reason that many other nations are not blessed is because their God is not the Lord. And I'm telling you folks, what has made America great is the fact that predominantly, since the inception of this nation, it has been a Christian nation. It has been a nation who ascribes to biblical values, biblical morality. That's what's made this nation great. And I'm telling you, if If we're going to remain great, we've got to get back to the God of the Bible. Hallelujah. This nation must get back to the values and the morals of the Bible. That's the only way that this nation will remain great. Because listen, everything we have, you got to understand, is given to you by God. And without Him, you won't have it any longer. God lifts His hand of protection. The Bible says that the thief comes but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And the reason our nation has been protected is because God has had His hand upon this nation. If it weren't for the hand of God, and again, thank God for our military, but I will tell you this, a military has no power if the hand of God is not upon them. Amen? In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." I want to give you just real quickly some rewards of remembering. Number one, remembering produces blessing. Remembering will always produce the blessing within your life. Many believers are not experiencing God's blessing because they keep forgetting what God did for them. The power to get wealth, get this, comes after you remember. He said, you got to remember the Lord your God. Why? For it's He who gives you power to get wealth. Power to get wealth is coming on the other side of remembering. And if you don't remember the Lord your God, then you lose the power to get wealth. So understand that remembering will always release the blessing of God within your life. I will tell you this, God will never release more to you until, first of all, you remember and are thankful for what you already have. Increase will always come on the other side of remembering and being thankful. Why do I put in thankfulness? Is because of this. Whenever you remember what God's done, you will be thankful. If you're grumbling and complaining, you need to start remembering. Remembering changes your attitude. It changes your perspective. Forgetting what God did for you yesterday will produce negative results in your tomorrow. Many of the things that it will produce is backsliding. It'll produce unthankful attitude. It'll produce complaining and murmuring. I can't tell you how many times people have come to this church body and I've heard them say right to my face, "Pastor, this is the most life-giving place I've ever been in. I'm telling you, I sense the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God flows. There's miracles that are happening. You can sense there's not just, it's not," and by the way, there's a difference between excitement and anointing and a thrill and the presence of God. So you can't equate the two. They're not the same thing. But there's a genuine presence of the Lord that is here. And I've had them say, "Man, it's just so powerful. And I'm getting so uplifted. I'm hearing the word. My faith is being built." And then 6 months to a year later, all of a sudden, they start complaining. They do the exact same thing that the children of Israel did whenever they were led out of the wilderness, out of Egypt. How many know it didn't take the children of Israel very long to start complaining? And all of a sudden, they started thinking, "Oh, I remember whenever we only had 45-minute services. I remember whenever you could hardly hear the music. I remember whenever everybody wasn't doing that shouting. I remember whenever, you know, that touring guy was, we didn't have anybody like that in our old church. Yeah, do you remember also whenever there was nothing going on? Do you remember when nobody was being healed? Do you remember whenever your family was falling apart? Do you remember whenever you were suffering from ailments and sickness that you're no longer suffering from? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?" And people start complaining and murmuring about everything. And I'm telling you, my friend, if you will learn to remember what God has done for you, it'll keep that murmuring and that complaining spirit from grabbing a hold of your heart. I'll tell you, that's one of the worst spirits that will ever grab hold of people, is a murmuring and complaining spirit. Look at somebody and say, "You got to say no to murmuring and complaining." See, again, what he says here is if you forget the Lord, you're going to perish. Now, I didn't say that. That's what God said. If you forget the Lord, you'll perish. However, if you will remember the Lord, you'll have life. If you'll remember the Lord, there will be a constant increase. If you remember the Lord, there will be constant reproduction of what He has started. Amen? Turn over to Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. It says this, "If you should say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember." That's verse 18, chapter 7, verse 18. You shall remember. Everybody say, "You shall remember." Look at somebody and say, you shall remember. You shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Well, what did God do to Pharaoh and to all Egypt? First of all, there were 10 plagues that were sent there that brought freedom and deliverance for the people of God. And then whenever they chased them, God totally annihilated them in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. What is God saying? You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to live in terror. You don't need to be frightened about what's going on. Don't you remember what I did for you? Don't you remember that every enemy that raised their ugly head against you, I caused to literally fall before your face? Don't you think that I can do it again? Oh, hallelujah. Don't you remember whenever you had that bill to pay and you didn't know how it was going to get paid, but supernaturally something happened and there was financial breakthrough? Don't you remember whenever the doctors had diagnosed this one thing going on in your body? But don't you remember whenever I came and healed and I delivered you, and then they had no explanation for the miracle that took place within your body? See, what remembering does, it causes fear to be banished and boldness to arise. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. What he was saying is this: remember, remember this, Pharaoh's dead. Look at somebody and say, Pharaoh's dead. Look at somebody and say, the enemy's defeated. See, I'm trying to bring an application to you, although we haven't literally faced Pharaoh and we literally haven't faced or come out of Egypt. But however, there are things that the enemy has attempted to do within our lives that we have all faced at some moment in some time. But I'm here to stand and declare to you today that God has given us the victory already. Hallelujah. The enemy is already underneath your feet. Amen. He says, don't be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did. Remember this, Pharaoh's dead. Remember this, Satan is defeated already. See, boldness will arise on the heels of remembering. Remember your victories. You know, whenever David had to go out and meet Goliath, what gave him such boldness in the face of such great opposition was the fact that he rehearsed his victories. David wasn't looking at the giant. He was looking at past victories. Whew. Listen, you got to hear this. He wasn't focusing in on the stature of the giant. He wasn't focusing in on the weapons that the giant possessed. He was focusing in on what God had already done within his life. And what he said is, you know what, I remember there was a bear that came in one day. I killed the bear and I rescued the sheep. I remember the one time there was a lion that came in and he tried to steal one of the sheep. And the reality is I took him and I grabbed him right by the beard and I killed him with my bare hands and I rescued the sheep. And hear this, the God who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear would deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? He don't even have a covenant. Shh. See, I've got a covenant, so there I am fearless in the face of opposition. Amen? Look at somebody and say, you're fearless. Look at somebody and say, you're filled with boldness. Where did that boldness arise in David? It's because he remembered his victories. He rehearsed his victories. He didn't focus on the giant, he focused in on his victories. And listen, I know that probably every single one of us here this morning have at least one victory. You may say, well, you know what, I've had a lot of defeats and I can only remember one victory. Well, focus on that. Well, I haven't really had a victory, but I'm saved. Hey, that's the greatest victory you could ever have. You were lost and without God, and God loved you so much he saved you. Hallelujah. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Focus on that. I remember whenever I was bad, I was real bad. Hey, God delivered me and set me free. And if you have to keep saying that over and over, you keep saying that till boldness arises. Amen? So before David went out to face Goliath, he rehearsed what God had done. Remembering what God did for you yesterday, hear this, will empower you for tomorrow. It will empower you for today. Remembering what God did for you yesterday, remembering causes fear to be banished. Matthew chapter 16, verse 8 says this. Are y'all still with me? But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them. Now, you have to understand this. Let me just kind of set this up. The disciples have left a place and they forgot to bring bread. Now, this is on the heels of everything else, that all the miracles that Jesus has done. He's already fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. And so he's already done these miracles. But Jesus, being aware of it, because they're talking about this, said to them, "O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" Because what Jesus had told them is, he said, "Beware of the leaven and the bread of the Pharisees. Do you not understand," get this, "or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000. See, they were all concerned about how that they were going to eat. They're all caught up in the natural things going on and totally miss everything that Jesus is saying, all because they have forgotten what Jesus had done in multiplying the loaves and the fishes. So you know what? A lot of times what happens is the enemy gets us distracted over in this little thing going on, and because we have forgotten what God did for us, we end up falling prey to the trap that the enemy has placed within, right out in front of us. You understand? See, the enemy always uses lies, and he always uses smoke screens, and he uses those kind of things to keep us from keeping our eyes single on what God has for us. So the disciples, they're all distracted. They're getting hungry. Probably stomach starting to growl a little bit and go, "Hey, Pete, I'm getting a little hungry. What are we going to eat?" You know, Jesus said, "Hey, we got to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, you know, so we got to make sure we don't eat bread. What are we going to have to eat? Oh, I don't know what we're going to have to eat." Jesus said, "Oh, you a little faith. Do you not understand, or do you not remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up?" I want you to write this down. Remembering causes faith to increase and faith to arise. Forgetting causes your faith to crash, and remembering causes your faith to ascend, to increase, and to become stronger. Jesus links, get this, Jesus links small faith to failure to remember. That's what I want you to see. He links having small faith to failure to remember what he had done. You're looking at the wrong thing all because you don't remember what I did. And how many believers today are looking at the wrong things all because they're not remembering what God did for them? And my friend, if he did it yesterday, he'll do it today. If you know somebody that he's done it for, understand this. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you, because he's not a respecter of persons. See, not remembering causes your faith to diminish. Remembering and rehearsing will cause your faith to increase and become strong. See, the disciples, they didn't understand because they didn't remember. Hear this. Many times people are dull of understanding because they fail to remember. Failure to remember causes your understanding to be dimmed. We have to make sure that we keep remembering what God's done. Look at somebody and say, "You got to continue to remember." Now, a very familiar passage of scripture that everybody's familiar with, Romans 10:17. How many know what that says? It says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing and then hearing that word. I don't have time to really go into great detail on this, but understand this. If you read your Bible, faith comes by hearing that Bible, right? Now understand, when Paul is writing this, there is no New Testament that's written. So he says that your faith is going to come by hearing the word. What word was he talking about? Well, you got to go all the way into the Old Testament. And whenever you read the Old Testament, you know what you read primarily? It is a book of history. It is a book of remembrance. That's what the Old Testament primarily is. It is a book of remembrance. Yes, there's prophetic utterances. Yes, there's commands. But understand this, more than anything, it is a book of remembrance. And whenever I read my Bible, what I find is there are stories, there are accounts of how God showed up in a mighty way. The reason that my faith can be strong in the midst of opposition is because I read what God did in the life of David. I read what God did in the life of Samuel. I read what God did in the life of Jonah. I read what God did in the lives of all of his great and mighty men of God. I read what God did in the life of Moses and the entire nation of Israel. See, it's an account of everything that God did. It is a history book. It is a book of remembrance. So get this. Faith comes by hearing the remembrance of what God did. Faith comes by hearing what God did in the past. Why? Because we know if he did it then, he'll still do it today. Amen? So what happens is that whenever we begin to remember what the Lord has done, faith begins to arise within our lives. Not remembering causes faith to diminish. Remembering and rehearsing will cause your faith to increase and become strong. The disciples didn't understand because they couldn't, or they didn't remember. Amen? One more scripture and we're closing. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? You know, I thought about continuing our keys message, but we'll continue that next week because I got a lot of good things we've been sharing on the keys of the kingdom. But I really felt like this was appropriate for this weekend to talk about remembering. I've shared some things about this, but I believe there's some fresh revelation the Lord's releasing this morning. Psalms 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, remember all his benefits. And he goes on to say in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Aren't you glad of that? Who heals all your diseases. Oh, thank God. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want you to write this down. Remembering releases and activates his benefits. There are benefits to serving the Lord. Let me say it another way. By serving the Lord, you're not penalized. Let me say it another way. By tithing, you're not penalized. By giving, you're not penalized. By obeying God's word, you're not penalized. It's not, listen, I want everybody to understand this. God is never trying to take something away from you. What God is wanting to do is for you to make room for him to release more within your life. That's his whole goal. I want you, listen, I want you to release this out of your hands. Why? Because if you'll release it, then I'll give you more. And I'll give you more than what you release. If you'll be faithful to give, then I'm going to be faithful to multiply it, praise God. See, there are benefits to serving the Lord. There's not consequences. There's not penalties for serving the Lord. You know, to hear some people talk, you'd almost think that, you know, they've been in some way penalized because, oh, I got to go to church. What do you mean, got to go to church? Hey, I have the opportunity. I have the privilege to gather with the people of God. What a great opportunity. Can I get a witness from somebody today? Oh, I got to get up and go, what? See, what you're saying is, I forgot the Lord. No, you need to remember the Lord. What a great opportunity. And forget not all his benefits. One of his benefits, see, because I'm saved, now I can have fellowship with those of like precious faith. And listen, you know what? Every one of us, we meet people, we see people, on our jobs, in the marketplace, and praise the Lord, reach out to those people, witness to those people. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like the fellowship that you enter into whenever you begin to get with those of like precious faith. There is no other thing. I mean, I love my family. Please understand I say this. And I think all of our family is saved. There might be one person that's not in our family, maybe one. I'm talking about your extended family and my extended family. I mean, we're all saved. But y'all hear my heart. But there's something about it whenever we come together. Amen. There's a closeness, there's a koinonia that we enjoy that you can enjoy in no other way. You don't even get it from family. Y'all don't shout me down right now. I'm just telling you, all of my family is saved, but I'm telling you, church family, there is something, there is a bond that God calls us to come there. And so I don't ever look at it as, oh God, I got to go to church. They'll praise the Lord. I get to be around the best people in all of Bay County. Praise the Lord. I get to fellowship with people of like precious faith that are on the same page, and there's blessing that comes into my life and into their life. We're able to bless one another, encourage one another. We're able to actually edify one another. We're able to release the gifts of the Spirit and cause mutual benefiting to come throughout the body of Christ. Amen? It's like, see, it's a benefit. Amen? Forgives all your sin. Listen, every one of us ought to be thankful for that every day. We need to be reminded of that. See, that way you don't live in condemnation, and also you make sure that you remain free from sin. When He forgives, understand this, He didn't just forgive you, but He totally erased it. Who heals all your sickness? He didn't say, I'll heal some of your sickness. I'll heal every bit of it. Heals all your disease, all your infirmities. Who redeems you from destruction. Aren't you thankful for protection and safety? Who crowns you with life. You know what that means? That means He's going to make it to where you can enjoy living. Think about it. Crowning me with life. Crowning me with life. You know, I'm closing. As many of you know, we're in the process of building a house. And building a house is a wonderful experience. It really, it's been kind of no, I would say no sweat, but every time we walk out there, and we've actually had a real nice breeze out there, but a couple of days it's been really quite humid. And you walk in there and it gets kind of hot, you know, and you do perspire a little bit. But the reality is, we got, everything is just kind of coming together one piece at a time. My wife, Pastor Stacy, before we actually built the house, when we were doing the design, she saw this thing called a cupola. That, I don't know if you've seen these. They're like little bitty houses on top of the roof of the house. And she said, I want one of those. And what mama wants, mama gets. I'm going to keep mama happy. She wanted a cupola. I said, well, it's probably going to cost a little bit more, but, you know, it'll be okay. So I said, we're going to have a cupola. And I wasn't for sure how this is going to turn out, because when you look at a plan and you look at the design, you know, everything's one-dimensional, so you don't really get the full impact. But they finished the roof and they put the sheeting on there, and I go, that looks really nice. And then I came back later and the cupola was there. And whenever I saw the cupola, I said, baby, I have to say it, you were right. It is beautiful. I said, it's the crown on the house. And so what to me, whenever that cupola went up there, I know it may seem, it's just like a little bitty house on top of your house. And you can't even live there. You can't do anything there. It's just purely for decoration, but it's a crown on the house. I said, it's the crown of the house. I said, it's like the house is complete. Now, I said all that to say this, He crowns you with life, with tender mercy. See, in other words, God's not going to have it just to where you're living, but He's going to beautify you. He's going to make you look good, hallelujah. He's going to put some things on you that you didn't necessarily need, but just because you're His son or you're His daughter, He says, I want to crown you with something. I'm going to give you a cupola on your house, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Now, don't everybody go out and build a cupola tomorrow. I'm just telling, I hope you're understanding the picture. Listen, it was worth putting that cupola on just for that point right there. He'll satisfy you with good things, not bad things. He'll satisfy you. Amen. You're not going to live frustrated. You're not going to live unsatisfied. And then it says in Psalm 68:19, get this, we're closing. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Who daily loads us with benefits. Since He daily loads us with benefits, we should daily remember those benefits. I said, since He daily loads you with benefits, you need to start daily remembering those benefits. Listen, I was thinking about this as I was meditating on it. If somebody ever asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm loaded. How's your finances doing? I'm loaded, hallelujah. How you feeling today? I'm loaded, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not living by what my bank account says. I'm living by what the Bible says, and it says that I'm loaded. Would you look at somebody today and say, you're loaded, glory to God. You remember that used to be a terminology whenever you'd say you're loaded. That means, man, you are the cat's meow. You got everything. You're living in a place of abundance. That's what he said here. He daily loads us with benefits. He's not sprinkling you with a little bitty pixie dust. He's loading me with benefits. Are you following? He's loading me with benefits. I'm loaded down. I got so much I don't even have room enough. I've got to find somewhere else to give. I've got to find somewhere else to sow.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.